All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Kings 11. 2 Kings 11. And appreciate Brother McKendrick coming. Nathan Fuchs went to church there when he was over in Tokyo in school. I know that Pastor Aaron appreciated the church being there for his son, and kind of got us in touch with each other. And brother, I'm glad you could come and share that tonight. It's a blessing. All right, let's look at verse 1, please. We're in 2 Kings chapter 11, and I want to read you a little story here out of the Bible, and then I want to show you a beautiful picture tonight. You know, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All right, so the two testaments go together, and all through the Old Testament there is picture after picture after picture and type after type after type of New Testament truth and New Testament doctrine. And that's what I want to show you tonight from this 11th chapter in 2 Kings. So look at verse 1, please, and you follow along as I read the story. It says, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal." All the royal seed. Everybody that was qualified due to his birth, get this now, everybody who was because of his birth was able to be a king or the king, she sought to destroy them. So notice that. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. All right, so the former king had a bunch of children, and now this wicked Athaliah, she's going to kill all the sons of the king, so none of them could be the king. And yet this one woman who was an aunt, she took Joash, who was the baby, and she hid him from Athaliah and her minions. All right, verse 3. "And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years." So she hid him in the house of the Lord. See, that's a good place. You're not; those heathens aren't going to go to the house of the Lord. All right, they're not going to show up at the house of God. No way. And so that was smart on her part, wasn't it not? All right. So she hid him for 6 years. And Athaliah did reign, I'm sure in terror, over the land. All right, look at verse 4. It says, "In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them." Notice that. Jehoiada, she brought a bunch of people in, a bunch of captains and guards in the royal army, And she brought them into the house of the Lord, watch this now, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part of you shall be at the gate of Sir, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep watch of the house of the Lord about the king. So she brings in these people, these soldiers, and she enters into a covenant with them and says, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do everything in our power to protect this young king. We're not going to let anything happen to this king. And so she put the guards out. She then put guards on an outer perimeter, and then guards out on an outer perimeter, so that the king, the child king, was protected. Now look at verse 12. I will jump down a little bit in the story. It says, and he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Well, the wrong king was on the throne, so it wasn't treason. All right, but she felt like she was being cheated. Verse 15, but Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. All right, now hold your place right there, and let's look at 2 Chronicles. Just hold your place right there, because we're going to come back there. But look at 2 Chronicles and chapter 22. All right, 2 Chronicles 22. And look toward the end of the chapter. At verse 10, we get just a little bit more information from this historical perspective, from this historical book. Chapter 22, verse 10. It says, but when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter, and this is the same one as over here, Jehosheba, all right? Jehosheba, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber, in a bedroom. So Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. All right, now look at verse 3, it says, and all the congregation made a covenant of chapter 23. Verse 3 of chapter 23. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign. The king's son shall reign. Did you get that? Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. All right, let's pray together and then the message tonight. Father, thank you now for your blessings this evening. And I pray now you'll bless as we open the scripture. I pray that you will give us understanding of what we're about to hear and help me to connect the dots and present the picture. And Father, may the Lord Jesus be lifted up here in the service tonight. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The devil has been trying since the very beginning to destroy the seed that God promised in Genesis 3:15 when Adam first sinned against God. The devil's been trying to destroy that seed that God promised was coming, that would one day crush the devil's head. Many times in the Bible, we can see the devil trying to keep the Lord Jesus from coming and dying on the cross. You might remember that when the children of Israel were in Egypt and were being held there by Pharaoh, that the Bible teaches and tells us that Pharaoh ordered the male infants to be murdered by the midwives. And when that failed, we read in the New Testament that King Herod ordered that all the babies 2 years of age and under in the city of Bethlehem to be destroyed. All in an effort to try and keep the Messiah, the Son of God, from coming. Many, many times in our Bibles, we read of how the devil tried to kill Jesus and to cut off the promise. But the scriptures tell us that every time the devil tried to do something, he failed. And thank God he did fail. How many times do you read in the Gospels where it will say, but his hour was not yet come? Well, the devil tried to stop the cross and tried to stop Jesus, but he was unable to do it. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus was praying and he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And I think what he was saying there was basically, Father, don't let me die here. Don't let me die here in this garden. I must die on the Passover and I must die hanging on the tree. He had to die according to scripture. And so he was praying and saying, not my will be done, but thine be done. You know, one thing, on our last trip to Israel, we crossed over the valley of Jehoshaphat, over where Armageddon will be fought, and we went up into on the road that takes you up to Nazareth. And when we got up there a little ways, we turned to the right, and there is a hill. It's just you can see it from across Megiddo as you look over towards Nazareth. And there's just this rock face that comes over. And that is the place where the people pressed against the Lord Jesus. And the Pharisees just kept bringing the crowd closer and closer to the edge, closer to the brow. And they wanted to get Jesus out there and then just bump him over the brow of that rock and kill him. But the Bible says it was not his hour, and he passed right through them as though he were a spirit. And so no matter what the devil has done, He cannot and was not able to defeat or to stop the Lord Jesus from doing what he came to do. The devil tried, but he always failed when he came after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in this, we have Athaliah trying to cut off the royal seed. She wants the royal seed to be destroyed. And Athaliah fails. And thank the Lord that attempt failed. The devil tried to outwit God, but there was no way that God was going to let that succeed. Now the former king's sister, Jehosheba, took the baby Joash and hid him for 6 years in the temple. And finally, one day, the true king, you see, the wrong king was on the throne. Athaliah was on the throne. That's the wrong king. That was not of the royal line. And so when the true king was brought out and crowned, then Athaliah was taken out and killed. Now, folks, I want you to see the picture tonight. It's amazing what is in this story. Remember now, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And there are three things I want you to see from this story. First of all, I want you to notice with me the devil's delight. The devil's delight. Can you imagine how delighted Satan was when he manipulated those wicked Pharisees and priests to humiliate and to beat and to curse, as I preached about this morning, and to scorn and then crucify the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine how delighted the devil was? I mean, he stood there and watched as all these people worked together to put Jesus on that cross, and stood there and watched as our Savior bled and died. And folks, I submit to you that at Calvary, Jesus thought he had indeed destroyed the seed royal. He thought, I've cut off the seed royal. I've got him. He will not escape my effort this time. But as we know, on the third day, there was a knock at the gates of hell. And when the Lord knocked at the gates of hell, according to Revelation 1 and verse 18, the Lord said to the devil, give me the keys. Give me the keys. Turn over there real quick and let me read that verse to you. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. And look, please, at verse 18. Well, let's go back to 17. It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You see, our Lord went to the devil and said, give me the keys. Why do you want the keys? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when you have the keys, you have the control. All right, this right here is a key to my office. Now, this is the key to the outer office. And then this is the key that goes to the inner office. Now, there's only a couple of these keys. There are several of these, which shows you that several of us have authority back there at the office. But there's only a couple of us that have that key, or there better be. And that shows you that I have the key, therefore I have the authority. All right, so that's what Jesus did. Give me the keys to death and to hell. And for you see, when Jesus went to that cross and died and then went to the grave and was resurrected, he secured our salvation. And so he could go to the devil and get the keys of death and hell. And when he got the keys, the moment I trust Jesus as my Savior, Jesus takes a key and unlocks the door of heaven for me to get in. And he locks the gates of hell for me so I can't get in. There is absolutely nothing that the devil can do because Jesus has the keys. Does that make sense to you? Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. For when you have the keys, you have the control. You see, folks, listen, any victory that the devil wins is a temporary victory. I'm sure the devil delights tonight at the evil that he has accomplished in this world. I'm sure he looks around at all the liberalism, all the churches that are closed tonight. He looks at all of the preachers that are sitting in front of a television tonight watching a football game instead of preaching the word of God. He is looking at all the broken homes that he has torn apart and all the orphan children that he has produced. And he is looking at all the drunkenness and all the ruined lives that he has offered to millions and millions of people. He is looking at all the shattered dreams that he has caused because of immorality. He is looking at all the wrecks that he has made because of narcotics and alcohol. But his delight will one day be turned into destruction. You see, any victory that the devil has is only a temporary victory. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 10, we read, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." My dear friend, listen, if you're not saved, you are a part of the devil's delight. You are part of what is making the devil happy. And don't forget, in 2 Chronicles 23 and verse 3, we read a moment ago, "The king's son shall reign." Now listen, follow the picture. Jesus will reign. Right now, the devil's on the throne. Right now, Athaliah's on the throne. Right now, the wrong king is on the throne of this world. But the king's son shall reign. Jesus will reign. He will reign until, Hebrews 1:13 says, he has put all things under his feet. Like Athaliah, you think you're safe, but you're not. You're not. And the devil delights that he has got you deceived. But realize the king's son shall reign. Jesus is coming again. He is in the Father's house right now, just like in our story here. The king, the true king, the real king is in the Father's house. He's in the temple of the Lord, but he's about to be brought out and he's about to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at the Psalms and go to specifically to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Let me read this wonderful psalm to you. Look at what David saw coming. Verse 1 of Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath lifted up his soul unto vanity, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? See, it's not enough. He had to say it a second time. I mean, he's about to explode here. Who is this King of glory? And the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The King's son shall reign. I'm telling you, folks, we need to make the devil cry treason tonight. I mean, some folks need to get saved that have been thinking about it, been dealing with it, and God's been dealing with you. I mean, you need to make the devil cry treason by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Amen. Second thing I want you to see is the king's declaration. All right, the first thing, that was the devil's delight. But now, secondly, I want you to see the king's declaration. Jehoshaphat hid the king, the boy king, for 6 years. Now, only a small group who entered into a covenant knew that the boy king was alive. Now, every time I read this, I think of what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 19. And in that verse, Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." You see, the neat thing is, those of us that have been saved, we have entered into a covenant relationship with the Savior. All right? We are in a relationship, a covenant with him. I thank God that in this room tonight, there are those who have entered into a covenant with God. Through eyes of faith, we know the seed royal is alive. Don't despair, child of God, because the king's son shall reign. Don't fear about the condition of things in this world today. Why? Because the king's son shall reign. Don't throw in the towel and give up and say, "I can't do this anymore." No, the king's son shall reign. Now watch, when the time was right, Joash was brought forth and crowned king. In verse 12, it says, "And he brought forth the king's son and put a crown upon his head." You see, folks, our Lord has been hidden from the eyes of men for almost 2,000 years now. And let me just remind you what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming again. Let me read it. You need not turn to it. I'll turn to it myself and read it for you. You just listen. It says in Revelation 19, it says in verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him," that's us, "upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Think of that, folks. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go back to the text for just a moment and look at chapter 11 and verse 4. In verse 4, it says, and the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them unto him into the house of the Lord. In other words, they brought him to the boy king and made a covenant with them. In verse 4, we have a picture of the rapture. We have a picture of those who were brought to the king and a small group that were drawn by a covenant. And then in verse 12, you will see that they brought the king out and made him, anointed him, declared him to be the king. And so in verse 12 is a picture of the return that I just read for you out of the book of the Revelation. So again, we see the picture of the second coming of Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the former king's destruction. The former king's destruction. You look at verse 16, they took Athaliah and killed her. Dead. Why? Wrong king. She had no business being on the throne. Why? You say, well, why would that happen? Here's why that would happen. Because the king's son shall reign. Right. You see, that's the order from God. The king's son shall reign. And folks, I want to serve notice on you. The devil's day is coming. The devil's day is coming. In 2 Chronicles 23, verse 21, I didn't read this, but it says, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. I checked that word quiet, and it means that they rested. The pressure was off. All right? The pressure was off. They rested. It's used of a person. The Hebrew word that is used there is used of a person who is no longer harassed. They're no longer bullied. Isn't that neat? There is coming a day, listen folks, when the devil is not going to harass us anymore. And thank God for that day. It's coming a day when there'll be no more harassment from Satan. I'll be undisturbed. I'll be unmolested. No more will the devil hound our every move. Why? For the king's son shall reign. Amen. Folks, you can trust your Bible. I know you get a little weary in well-doing. I know you watch the news and you see all this foolishness that's going on in our country. And you see the attacks upon truth and upon the church and upon the gospel. And you're hearing these candidates for president stand up and talk about taking away tax exempt status if we don't accept the gay lifestyle and all that business. And you just throw your hands up and say, what's the use? Why go on? I tell you why go on, because the king's son shall reign. You say, well, I'm tired of it. Yeah, we all are, but the king's son shall reign. You just have to trust the Lord, folks. You just have to trust the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day when the king's son shall reign. Amen. And it's coming. So just hang in there a little longer. My grandson asked me yesterday, he said, Papa, when do you think the rapture is going to happen? I hope today. You know, if the rapture happens today, we won't have to get up in the morning. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I mean, just think about it. You won't have to go to work tomorrow. Yay. You won't have to go to school tomorrow, guys. Amen. Why? Because the King's Son shall reign. Folks, the King's Son shall reign. Don't ever forget that. It's right here in the book, and nothing is going to stop it. The King's Son shall reign.